Today is Low Sunday. So the epistle for the first Sunday after Easter is taken from 1 John chapter 5. Dearly beloved, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory which overcometh the world, our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit which testifieth that Christ is the truth. And there are three who give testimony in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. And there are three that give testimony on earth, the Spirit and the water and the blood. And these three are one. If we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater. For this is the testimony of God, which is greater, because he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth in the Son of God hath the testimony of God in himself. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. So the Gospel is taken from John chapter 20. At that time, when it was late that same day, the first of the week, and the doors were shut, where the disciples were gathered together for the fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be to you." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his sides. The disciples therefore were glad when they saw the Lord. He said therefore to them again, "Peace be to you. As the Father hath sent me, I also send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them, and he said to them, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whose sins you shall forgive, they are forgiven them, and whose sins you shall retain, they are retained." Now Thomas, one of the 12, who is also called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the place of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." And after 8 days again his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Jesus cometh, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, "Peace be to you." Then he said to Thomas, Put thy finger hither, and see my hands, and bring hither thy hand, and put it into my side, and be not incredulous, but believing. Thomas answered, and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Because thou hast seen me, Thomas, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and have believed." Many other signs also did Jesus in the sight of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. Please be seated. My Lord and my God, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. As we've made it through Holy Week, an Easter week, we come to Low Sunday. Low Sunday gets its name because, in reference to Easter, which is the high Sunday, I guess you could refer it to. Because Easter, as I mentioned to you, is the pinnacle. It is the pinnacle of our faith. And so, yes, there might be what we consider somewhat of a letdown now. We have reached the pinnacle. But for us, I think it's important to also to look and to see what the church brings out on this Sunday. We have the famous account of doubting Thomas. You know, of Thomas not believing in that our Lord appeared to the other apostles, he wouldn't believe it unless he was able to touch our Lord, to see clearly his hands, to put his hand in his side. I mean, it is in reference to, we can say, modern man. Of how modern man will not believe things unless they can have the empirical data, they can have the things that they can touch, concrete things for them. But we have to understand that our Lord, he has given us so much, he has offered to us so much, and we saw that by all that our Lord suffered during his passion and his death on the cross, and then finally his resurrection. We see very clearly what our Lord is willing to offer to us. And then yet, coming to the apostles, appearing to them, again is a clear indication of the love that our Lord has for us. But even further than that, when you consider and look at the gospel account, one, just from the fact that he would come back for doubting Thomas, one that did not believe, one that wouldn't believe at that time. And yet our Lord comes back, comes back to show to him and even say, okay, fine, Thomas, put your hand in my side, see the wounds that I have, so that you can believe. I mean, one, that expression of the love that he has for Thomas is impressive when we look at it. When we see how much that he was willing to try to extend and go for doubting Thomas, even though he didn't believe at the time. I mean, one, it is something that our Lord promised that he would come back to them, that our Lord would come back, and yet doubting Thomas still wouldn't believe. But if you look also and see what our Lord gave to them, it is an expression of the love that he has for all of our souls. Is just the idea of confession. Of realizing how weak we are. Of realizing that, yes, we may fall and lose the grace of God. And yet, in God's mercy and his love for our souls, he is willing to give us that opportunity to come back to that grace. I mean, with the angels, we saw that they had the one opportunity. Even with Adam and Eve, they had that one test before they were punished. But with us, his creatures, we are given numerous opportunities. Numerous times that we've maybe offended Almighty God, that we've turned our back on God. And yet, in God's mercy, he still is willing to take us back. God very clearly is willing to take us back at every point, as long as we want to come back, as long as we are willing to say that we are sorry for what we have done. And so that is what is impressive when we look at the words that he gives to the apostles themselves. You know, he tells them, you know, I'm giving to you the Holy Ghost, receive the Holy Ghost. Whose sins you shall forgive, they are forgiven. Whose sins you shall retain, they are retained. And that is based all upon us. I mean, obviously the apostles or then priests will never retain a sin on a soul unless that soul does not show the contrition or the amendment of life. That would be the only way that a priest would withhold absolution to them. Is if they put that obstacle to receiving then that grace, that absolution. And so from that, Almighty God gives us so many opportunities. He gives us so many chances. We have no idea how many. You know, we don't realize how many chances God gives to us. And in some ways, we may abuse that. In some ways, because God, yes, he has made it in a way so easy for us. We can possibly abuse that. And so that is why we have to think very, very much about the state of our soul. You know, we spent the whole time period of Lent considering our soul before the eyes of God. And then we celebrate the Feast of Easter, and now we come to this. We come to this time period where we see the extension, the love that God has for our souls. But I would say it gives us good reflection to try to examine our soul, examine how we are before the eyes of God. God willing that you've taken advantage of the amount of confessions, the time period that we had during Holy Week, to make a good confession. Holy Mother of the Church still gives us some time until Trinity Sunday, to fulfill then our Easter duty. So I encourage you, if you haven't yet made that, to take advantage of this time, not only because it is a precept of the Church, it is an obligation that we have, but I would say also because it helps us to show our love for God, to give back a little bit to God for what he has given to us. Almighty God gave his only begotten Son to die on the cross for us. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. And so that illustration to us was very clear during the time period of Holy Week, Good Friday especially, when we contemplate and we think about the death of our Lord on the cross and how much that he loved us, how much that he suffered in order to show that love, to illustrate that love to us. But then again, for the apostles, he shows his love to them too, of coming back to visit them, to strengthen them, to help them, to spend time with them before clearly then they will go on their mission when he ascends into heaven. But what a clear indication of the mercy of God, of giving them that ability and then handed down from them to all priests, the ability to forgive sins. I mean, clearly I think it is one of the most rewarding things that a priest can do, is to have the ability granted through the grace of God of bringing a soul back to God's grace, of having the ability, yes, to forgive their sins, to wipe that away from them, and to where then they are back in the state of grace. They are back with God. I mean, as I say, that is one of the greatest and most fulfilling things as a priest, to be that weak instrument that God uses to bring souls back to his grace, to have that ability. And that is why to wonder when souls don't take advantage of that, when souls will stay away for long periods of time, not to consider God's great mercy. I mentioned to you before about, as a priest, we pray for the justice, obviously, of Almighty God, but then also his mercy, that a priest must have that balance in the confessional, the justice and the mercy of God, justice to account for the sins that are there and to try to give a penance that is sufficient, to balance it out. But granted, sometimes a priest, with his discretion, will maybe give a lighter penance to a soul maybe he feels that is not able to carry the penance, and to help him with the penance, to do it for him. Because he realizes out of justice, these sins have to be repaired for. Well, then out of mercy for this soul, maybe they need a break because maybe they have been away from the sacrament for so long. And if they're given a penance that maybe will seem burdensome to them, it may push them away, or they may think it's too much, not realizing maybe what they have done clearly. And so the priest must balance the justice and the mercy of God. And that is why it's important for us to pray for those virtues, an imitation of our Lord. An imitation of our Lord that he had. And when we see that account very clearly with our Lord, there are times when our Lord shows his justice, throwing out the money changers in the temple, but then also his mercy of the woman that was accused. And then our Lord says, he that is without sin, cast the first stone. All the people leave, and our Lord says, where are your accusers? And so he tells her, sin no more, go, your sins are forgiven. And so you see very clearly the balance that our Lord had in the mercy and in the justice. And so that is evident in the sacrament of confession. It is evident for us. And so, yes, it's a shame if we do not take more advantage of that. I mean, in a way, if we do not flock to the confessionals to receive that grace from God, because of what God offers to our souls. I mean, God has created us. He has created us with a free will. He realizes that sometimes we will use our free will poorly. And therefore, then we will lose God's grace. And so then again, God offers out to us confession to say, okay, fine, come back. And even to the point that we even see that with Judas himself, our Lord saying, friend. He refers to him as a friend. You see how much God loves our souls. You see how much God is willing to do these things for us. And yet, as I say, sometimes we abuse all of these things. We abuse these graces of God. Either one, not taking advantage of it, or then maybe, yes, taking it too lightly. Or considering, well, you know, I can go to confession, so it doesn't really matter. That we have to be careful of. I mean, that kind of a mentality we have to guard ourselves against. Because we know not the day nor the hour. And so you're gambling. You're gambling with your soul. But granted, if, I mean, obviously with our souls being weak, weak human nature, yes, there can be a tendency that we fall into sins. But if a soul is striving, a soul is trying to overcome them, receiving the graces of God, trying to do penances, trying to do mortifications, they're not abusing then the grace of God. And so that is why so much is offered to us, so much is given to us. And yet, we sometimes don't take advantage of that. One of the adult catechisms I had given, I gave on frequent confession and the benefits from it. And just this idea of taking advantage of the graces of God. So much is offered out to us, and sometimes so little we take advantage of. As I say, we should flock to the confessionals. We should see what God is offering to us. And yet, on a large scale, we don't. We don't take advantage of that. We don't take advantage of what God gives to us at times. So clearly, during this Paschal tide, reflect, think back, consider all that God has done for us. I mean, we saw it in the liturgy. We saw it how clearly the church brings it out. You know, some of you, you took advantage of the ceremonies, of seeing how important the liturgy brings out, truly, the love for God has for us. And now, in this Sunday, right after Easter, again, it shows the mercy and the love of God. One, for what he did for the apostles, by coming to them, by strengthening them, by doubting Thomas. Here you have one that doesn't believe unless he sees it. And God comes back to him. But then I would say, just to meditate even upon the grace of confession and what that means for our soul. Think about how many other religions out there, they don't even have that. They don't have that ability. They don't have that grace. I mean, obviously because they're not the true religion. But they don't have that. If they fall, what do they do? What options do they have? I mean, just to consider that point and to see the love that God has for us is beyond words that we can even explain. It is nothing that we can even really comprehend. That how much God continues to give to us and offer to us, and as I say, a lot of times, we may not even take advantage of it. And so something for us to consider. It is something for us to think about, the great mercy and the love for God that he has for our souls. How much he illustrated that during Holy Week and Easter, but then every single day of our life, it's offered to us. The graces of the sacrament at Mass, Holy Communion. You know, that was something that we commemorated on Holy Thursday. Is the chance that we have to receive Holy Communion. Now we have some of our children that are preparing for that step. But do we think about all of those graces? I mean, do we consider that same idea of when we go up and receive Holy Communion? Or as I've said to you in the past, I mean, is it just like being part of the herd? You come up and you receive and you go back and you don't think anything of it. I mean, does it really do something for your soul? Do you consider who you have just received? Or from the chance of going to confession and realizing that God has just forgiven my sins? God has brought me back into his grace. Do we consider these things? I mean, God forbid we have the mentality of like the Christmas, Easter type people that come to, that's the only time we come to Mass, the only time we really take the sacraments and that's it. God forbid. And what a waste of God's graces that we will be held accountable for, that God will ask us on Judgment Day, look at all that I gave to you, and what did you take advantage of? Basically nothing. Basically nothing. And so that's why I say it's a great grace that we have the opportunities for the sacraments in themselves. But then when we read this Mass and see how much God loves us, that he was willing to come to this earth to take a human form so that he can die on the cross to get us to heaven again. I mean, what a great grace for us. What a great opportunity for us. And so if we haven't taken advantage of these things, pray and consider what you need to do in order to take advantage of what God gives to us. And if you have tried to take advantage as best you can, pray for the graces that you continue. Because very clearly we see what our Lord says. Blessed are those that believe yet have not seen. In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.